On the phone with me this morning is Samuel Bernstein, who's just written a wonderful book about one of my favorite actors, Cesar Romero, not just because of the Batman series, but he did do wonderful in that as well. And Samuel, welcome to WQNV.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to ask you a couple of quick questions. First of all, talk about what inspired you to do the book about Cesar Romero, and then let's talk a little bit about the Batman Day thing coming up, because a lot of listeners probably aren't really familiar with it.
Well, you know, I learned that no one had written about Cesar Romero before, and I was shocked. And I just thought, well, somebody needs to, you know, rectify that situation immediately. And, you know, I wanted to look at the origin story, not just of a Hollywood star who had a 60-year career, but it really winds up being the origin story for how the Joker was created.
Well, you know, it is kind of odd because if you really look at all of the modern incarnations of the Joker, from Nicholson, who brought it back to the big screen, and Ford, they all pay homage or at least fall within the guidelines of what was initially set down by Cesar Romero and his characterization of the Joker. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. And so did Rolling Stone, writing about them in 2019. You know, all these years after the TV show, all these years after Cesar died in 1994, they're still talking about the influence that he had on how people perceive this character and how people want to experience the Joker.
Well, I've got to do what every fan of Batman always asks anyone who talks about the series. Let's talk about the mustache. He refused to shave that mustache. That was his trademark, and they just plastered that sucker, but it still popped up and showed up at times. Do you have anything backstory behind that?
Well, I think it didn't show up as much before High Def, when people had antennas and, you know, like snowy screens. I think it didn't show up quite as much. But, you know, he was doing a national campaign at the time for a suit company. And he was the debonair, elegant face of Petrocelli Suits. And they had photographs in magazines and billboards all over the country of him in his suave, debonair mustache. And he just felt like, well, I want to play the Joker, but I've already committed to this other thing, and they've spent all this money on all of these, you know, ads and things everywhere, and I have to show up as the man they hired. And he just felt like he felt a real sense of obligation to that company to just not, you know, not be some other guy.
You know, his career was unique, I think, because, first of all, most people are shocked to find out he's from New York.
You know, yeah, it was the Latin great, from Manhattan is what
right.
he called himself.
Right.
Yeah, you know, people thought he was Cuban or Spanish or Mexican
yeah.
or, you know, he all of these different Latino identities. But no, he was a New Yorker.
And would tell you that. I've seen in interviews before where he simply says, you know, I'm from New York, and that's where he would. But he had such a wide range of roles. Obviously, I mean, he starred opposite Shirley Temple, of all things. He starred opposite John Wayne, as well as Randolph Scott. He was in Westerns. He was in crime dramas. He was in musicals. I mean, he just had romantic comedies. He just had and swashbuckling, of all things, opposite Tyrone Power. I mean,
yeah, he was Cortez taking over the New World. You know, I think that he really, really enjoyed the challenge of approaching all of these different kinds of characters. You know, playing the Cisco Kid and doing tricks on horses and singing, you know, in Spanish to a lovely señorita on one day. And then on another day, being an Indian chieftain who's kidnapping Shirley Temple. You know, he got to do just about a little bit of everything, and I think he loved that.
Well, I saw a line written about him one time, which I think I've always thought about when I see him in anything. He was the perfect co-star. He would bring elegance. He would bring his role to the forefront. You knew he was in the film, but he never tried to overshadow who was first billing. And that says a lot. I think that's why he was so steadily working throughout his career.
Well, I think that was really the way he lived his life as well. And even when you go to a performance that is as over the top and hammy and joyful as the Joker, I think he was always mindful of playing well with others. You know, he wasn't there trying to overshadow Batman and Robin. He was, you know, he was complimenting them, and they were working together to create something.
It was amazing on a lot of the background I've read over the years about the Batman series. There was two actors that they wanted to make sure there was always a script sitting on the side that they could, if they had the opportunity to bring them in, they would. One was Burgess Meredith, the other was Cesar Romero. They had the opportunity to grab those two. They wanted to make sure they had a script ready to go for them because the fans loved these two characters. And Romero just stood out no matter what he did on that series.
Well, I agree. And I think it was the absolute joy that he felt in, you know, just using every ounce of creativity and artistry and passion and silliness, you know, that he could bring to the party. And he was just having the best time.
I really think it came across. Same thing with Meredith. I mean, he just loved that role, and he could be something he wouldn't normally. I know we're pressed on time, so let's talk about the book for just a moment. It's Cesar Romero, The Joker is Wild. And now, Samuel, tell us where we can get our hands on it, when it's released, and all of. I know you've got a YouTube thing about it as well.
It's everywhere right now. It's available online at all the usual suspects and available in bookstores. And, you know, as we get up to World Bat Day, Batman Day, I think it's great fun to remember how important the villains are to the whole Batman saga.
Well, I have to admit, I think they will admit it as well, the TV was driven by the quality stars that come in as playing the villains, which is fantastic. One quick remark, I've got to share this one with you. In Frontier Marshall, when he played opposite Randolph Scott, and he played a mixed up Doc Holliday type character influence.
Yeah, it was it was weird that they renamed him Halliday instead of Holliday.
He wasn't a dentist either. It was kind of weird. I think that was one of the early movies, 39, I think is when it came out, but he held his own against Randolph Scott, which was very hard to do for a lot of actors.
He held his own against everyone. And I think he did it elegantly and simply with a great deal of generosity.
I totally agree. I appreciate the book. You did an excellent job. I encourage our listeners to look for it where books are sold near you and online. And it is available. And thank you, Samuel, for taking the time out to talk with us and for sitting down and creating this work. It's fantastic.
My pleasure.